And that's Bad Company from the band Bad Company off the album Bad Company on your radio dial. Ah, yes, this is Jim, and this is a very special episode of Jim and Them. It is just me here by myself doing a solo show. A couple things to get out of the way at the top here. Trigger warnings, if you will. Before the trigger warnings, this is probably the longest I've gone without doing Jim and Them, since the early days, since within like the first 20 episode-ish era, when we had issues with Brandon, and then we got on to a regular schedule of weekly. Not saying we've done every single week. I mean, obviously we've had weeks off if I've gone on vacation, etc. But, I mean, the panel is almost like a show, so it's questionable, but it's not really. It's, you know, it's different. Anyways, you're a listener, you're on the podcast feed, you understand. So, it's been a while, and I did want to check in, and I felt, for what I want to talk about, it's probably easier to do it by myself than to force, you know, three of my good friends to stare me in the face and have to react and try to make something of what I want to talk about here. So yeah, now we can get to the trigger warnings. Trigger warning. This may, I know I'm using it as like a goof, but I'm also, I guess, kind of serious. I don't know how funny this episode's going to be. So, I mean, that's just fair warning. I may cry. I probably won't, because when I'm in this setting with the headphones and a microphone, it is a little different. But I am by myself, so who's to say? And yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just talking about my life here. Now, I don't know if some of you listeners may have already heard the WAR episode that is behind a paywall. I mean, it's not, Kevin blames me. And yeah, I mean, there's truth to that. I'll take the blame, sure. But in my defense, this is during when things were pretty fresh and I didn't really, it didn't sink in. Things weren't real for me yet. So I wasn't ready for it to be, you know, live on YouTube and, you know, I know people would mean well. I'm not thinking that the worst, but I just didn't want to deal with that yet until I processed what happened. And I think I'm still processing what happened. But if you haven't heard, my mother did pass away last week on Thursday. And and it's like a horror. It's like, I know just hearing that, it's like, oh, that's horrible. But no, it's a horrible story. Like, it keeps the hits keep on hitting. I mean, one thing that I should learn, it's, you know, they say don't make Childish Gambino, This Is America memes. Like, they say don't make them, and I haven't made any, but I've laughed at some. And I feel like I laughed at some memes, and this is what happens. I'm paying the price. The karmic price of laughing at such an artistic and important video for 2018. Childish Gambino, This Is America. If you haven't seen it, I highly suggest you checking it out. Do not watch any of the memes. What happened to me could happen to you. So, yeah, not only did my mother pass away, but I found her. So, yeah, that's fun. I guess it starts on Monday. On Monday, I got a message from the hospital that my dad was in the hospital. And it's not too crazy. He was in the hospital a couple weeks before that as well. Because he's a stupid fucking idiot. And, you know, when you have asthma all your life and then you just smoke all the time still, like, it was kind of a thing even when I was a kid. He'd have to go in for, like, breathing exercises or whatever because, you know, you got shit lungs and you put shit in your shit lungs and, you know, that's what happened. So he was, a couple weeks ago, he was in the hospital for that, for, like, breathing and, you know, went through the motions. And at the time, like, it was very similar to what happened here where I got a call and he wanted me to go check in on my mother because... they have like one cell phone, so it's not like maybe if he has the phone or if the phone's not on or if it didn't get charged, like she might not know where he's at. So that all went all well and good. On this week, though, I went over to check in on Monday and the door was locked and I tried the sliding glass door as well and that was locked as well. And I was like, all right, well, you know, it's kind of not out of the ordinary if, you know, my mother or even my father was sleeping during the day. So it's not like a, it wasn't crazy occurrence. I mean, I'm sure you kind of get a feeling where this might be a headache, but so then I went to see my dad and he's incoherent. He's kind of out of it. He's kind of rambling a bit, somewhat making sense, somewhat not making sense. I talked to the nurse and, he had fallen outside of a Carl's Jr. And they had someone called 911. They brought him over to the hospital. I mean, the hospital, I guess one good thing about their situation is that the hospital's right across the street. So it's like, here's their place. It's in like an apartment complex condo place. And then here's the hospital right across the street. So he gets brought over across the street. He's in there. Yeah, they tell me that his ammonia levels are high. I guess that can happen from drinking. And, kind of busted up his knee or his leg or something. Nothing was broken, but, you know, they had him there and they were trying to detox him. And, yeah, he's rambling and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, par for the course. And then I go home. I check in on him, like, the next day or the day after, and he's still there. Although I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but like the room phone just rang and rang. So, that's how I know he's there. But then on Thursday I called and the room didn't ring. It went to an operator and then I go, we don't have a patient by that name. So I was like, oh, okay, I got to go check up on him, see what's going on. And, this time when I go to the, condo, the door's open. Well, not open, but it's unlocked. So the door's unlocked, and I can hear the dog inside, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, all right, walk right in, see what's going on. And, yes, I found my mother. She was on the floor, and it was definitely like a, like, this is, like, it didn't register. I mean, I guess it's kind of what you'd expect. You wouldn't, like, it didn't seem like this was a real thing. And then, like, the added, like, I look in the bedroom, and my father's in the bedroom, too. Well, no, she's not in the bedroom. She's on the floor. He's in the bedroom. But, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's dead, too? But he's alive. And, but he can't get up. Like, he somehow got home from the hospital, and he can't get up, and he's been, like, struggling. I guess, I don't know, there for hours, but I don't know how he got home either. And I don't know what's going on. I can't really process what's happening. And I mean, I call Kevin, but even like as I'm calling Kevin, I'm thinking, you know, this is like, they're going to look at my call records and, you know, why didn't I call 911 immediately? And it's just fucking, you know, it's a crazy situation. It's not something you expect to, you know, happen, like, in real life. Is this real life? And I know I don't know if this will be uploaded or not. I'm just using this as some, like, faux, you know, American no insurance having therapy, I guess. Just trying to talk it out and make sense of it. And yeah, I mean, come to find out, like, well, I talked to Kevin at first and, you know, Kevin knows something's up. We talk, but I don't call him. We talk on Facebook Messenger. So if I'm calling him, you know, something's up. And I did, if you hear the WAR episode, I guess it's like the first time he's gotten high in quite a while. So it's really great timing for everyone. And, you know, I can't say it. I can't say the, I mean, I don't even know if I could still say it. I mean, I don't remember if I've said it here at the top of the show. I have to say, you know, mom's not alive. And that's what I was saying when I was in the house. That's what I was saying. I was saying, what is happening? Is this real? And because I'm trying to talk to my father and he's disoriented and he can't really speak either. And I'm asking, is this real? Is she alive? And that's when I called Kevin. I can't, like, you know, I'm breaking up. I can't really speak. And I'm saying I don't think she's alive. And then I have to call 911. And, like, all the classic, in true fashion of what you hear, going back to, let's pull up the date. Let's keep things accurate here. It's definitely the early 90s, maybe the late 80s. It's got to be early 90s, though. A little band called Public Enemy. Now, yes, that's right. Flavor of Love's own Flavor Flav sang this song. It's from the album Fear of a Black Planet, which I did have on tape. And because that's how fucking kick-ass dude I am. I had that on the cassette because I'm a real OG. But a little song called 911 is a joke because it really was. I call 911 and they answer and say hold. They put you on hold. And then after they put you on hold, they say, is this medical or is this criminal? I don't remember specifically what it was. And I'm like, it's medical. And they're like, okay, hold on. And again, so we're holding again. And it, I mean, given I'm sure seconds feel like, not necessarily hours, but I'm sure it felt longer than it actually was. But it just felt like it shouldn't have been anything like that. It just should have been, okay, what do you hear in the movies? 911, what's your emergency? And it wasn't really, it's 911. Is this a cool thing? Or is this a chill? Or is this a whatever? And yeah, so they put you on hold. Then they put you on hold again. Finally, I get medical. And again, it's the same thing of like, I can't say it. I'm like, my mom is on the floor and I don't think she's alive. And it's clear, June 1990. Thank you. So yeah, early 90s. For anyone wondering, all the people keeping score at home. I can't say it, but it's also clear that like, this is not a new thing. Like she's been here. She's been here for days because I know the other idea, I mean, the other horrific idea that has to pass through your mind is if my father's there, did he murder her? And yes, that is a thing that you have to wonder when you find your mother dead and your father in the other room. Even though he's like disoriented, even though he can't get up and he's clearly like frail and weak, did he murder? Like, what the fuck happened? But I guess the saving grace is I know he was in the hospital and it's clear it's been a few days now, unless something happened beforehand. But I mean, we'll get to that. I can't say it, but and I know in my head that it's been like there's time has passed. I'm not going to get into like gruesome details here, but time has passed. But I don't want to admit it. I don't want to say it. And they're saying, well, if you think that there's a chance, then you have to do CPR. And like, but I touch her and she's cold. And I mean, all I can think of is that episode of Buffy. What a fucking piece of shit I am. Oh my God. You got to go with the pop culture references. Can't you live your life, you stupid asshole? But yes, I mean, for people that do or don't know, there is an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer that is very similar, and it is the character Buffy, me, the hero, walking in and finding her mother dead and having to call 911 and, but yeah, having to say she's cold and I'm really sorry if you're listening to this. I apologize. Did I do enough trigger warnings at the start? But then, you know, they realize from what I'm saying, they just say, okay, please, just get out of there and wait for the ambulance. And so, yeah, that's what I do. And, you know, they come quick and they go in and, you know, they're asking me questions and they're doing their thing. And they're wondering, like, why my father's in there. And they're asking if I've watched any Childish Gambino, This Is America memes. I tell them I've watched them all. They make a frowny face and lose all sympathy for me. Jesus. So, what an idiot. What a dumbass. I'm talking about me. So, yeah, then it's just kind of the long wait. Then I have to wait for Metro to get there. And Metro is asking me questions over and over again. They're asking me the same question. And, I mean, yeah, I'm in shock, but I understand. I mean, they're doing their job, clearly. You know, who knows what's going on. But they keep asking me the same questions, and it's obvious to try to see if I'm lying about anything. Because it is somewhat of a suspicious scene, at least, if she's been there for some time or what have you. And those things happen. Like, you see it, again, if I could go to movies and TV. You see it in movies, TV, where, you know, it has to be, like, this is someone's job. You're dealing with, like, it's your fucking nightmare, but it's their job. So, I don't blame them for that, but I do blame them for not hiding it properly. Like you could hide it, you know, you could show some tact. Like, as I'm talking to one of the officers, another officer goes in the house, and then he comes out, and he's, like, annoyed. You could see he's annoyed. And he kind of points at the ambulance, and he's like, I don't want to deal with it in there. I'm going to go with them. And I'm like right there, and I'm like, you fucking dumb fuckhead. Fuck you. Hopefully you get fucking assassinated at a CC's Pizza. You know, hey, I'm distraught. I could say stuff like that. I'm allowed. Have you seen that Curb episode where Larry gets the things that he wants because his mom passed away, even though he didn't know about it for a month? Ah, it's hilarious. If I can drop another fucking reference in this horrible story. But yeah, so you're seeing shit like that. And even Kevin, because Kevin shows up later, and Kevin catches him in their in-jokes. And the thing is, like I said, I completely get it. I understand. Part of it is, you know, that's a horrible thing to have to deal with every day. You're dealing with someone's tragedy every day, but it's just your fucking 9 to 5 and you're ready to go to the bar or fucking you know, drop your kid off with a stepmom so you can go to the bar or drop your pet off at boarding so you can go to the bar, whatever things you have to do so you can get to the fucking bar and drink your life away. But, you know, they're cracking jokes. Well, not cracking jokes, but like just inside jokes, like, hey, I'll keep your secret, you keep mine. And Kevin, understandably, he thinks like he's gonna get arrested for, like, just because, you know, police are around, and he's concerned maybe he's gonna get arrested just because. And, you know, we have to fill out these statements, and then we have to hang out because then, like, the coroner comes out and they're dealing with the situation. They take my dad back to the hospital, and, you know, we hung out. I mean, we were there for like 4 hours or some shit. A long time just sitting in my car drinking. You know what? And hey, this is a question I have for you. One of the cops comes up being a nice guy. I like to call him good cop. Other guy fucking doing weird shit, call him bad cop. They had a real great game going on. They had real great roles. But good cop comes up and, you know, sorry, he gives you the platitudes. You know, I'm sorry I have to deal with this, blah, blah, blah. Although I know I'm being a dick, but I mean, I feel like he's being genuine. But then he's like, yeah, you guys need anything? You want like a water or something? And I'm like, yeah, I go for water for sure. And then Kevin's like, yeah, I go for water. So he leaves for a little bit, like goes to the gas station, what have you. Comes back with fucking Gatorades. Now, usually I wouldn't care, but he got like this fucking weird, like freeze. It's like the color of milk or like cum. I forget what flavor it is, but it's this fucking white freeze Gatorade. And all I'm thinking is like, it's funny looking water. What are we fucking hitting up the hoops after this? What are you giving me Gatorade for? You think my electrolytes are low? God damn it. I want a water. Took two sips of this fucking garbage. Can I go on more about the Gatorades? Jesus. So, I mean, and then this is America memes. There's so many things to get to. And I'm fucking dragging my feet on this goddamn dead mother story. So, yeah, I mean, not really much to say from there. It's kind of have to hang out on the scene, wait for them to do stuff. And my mother has this dog, Molly. Well, I mean, if you're a true Jim and Them fan, you go back through the archives, you live it, you love it. Now and forever, whatever the WWE thing is, live it, love it, now and forever. You can have it your way, whatever the fuck. I'm a hack, fuck you. So yeah, Molly is a dog we had back in the day, and my mother ended up taking her in, and they've been like, you know, fast pals, if you will, for, you know, like basically 6 or 7 years now. And if I could go dark for a second, I mean, cover your ears if you don't want to hear it, or go fuck yourself. I did have the thought of like, well, hey, the dog didn't need her. And fucking Christ. But it's true. The dog didn't need her. And because you hear about that, that shit happens. And it had been a few days. So, you know, put that in the win column. But yeah, I did have the forethought to put the dog in the other room before the police and stuff got there. So we kind of had to wait for that because they had to clear the scene. So they tried to get the dog, and she's big and probably scary when she barks, and they were a little scared. I mean, we're outside. I could just hear what's happening. But she just hid under the bed anyways because, you know, she's harmless. So, but we had to wait because, you know, we had to take her, and Kevin took her, which is great. Because, I mean, I have three dogs. I can't take another dog, but it is like, dude, it like makes it so much more real too. If I could get into like sad shit. Oh yeah, let's fucking get into some sad shit for a change. This dog clearly knows something's going on and is like kind of crying and whimpering definitely for my mother. Because Kevin mentioned it on his show that there's even like a tag on the leash. She, you know, because the condo place, I think, wanted her to get rid of it because she's kind of a big dog, but she got like the old therapy dog route, and it's like government protected. It's like a government protected dog. Like, she wanted her way to do that because, you know, the dog meant a lot for her. And meanwhile, like today, if I could fucking date myself, here it is, Monday the 14th. I'm leaving for Tokyo tomorrow. Like, happy Tokyo to me. Fucking Margot Kidder. Everyone's talking about Margot Kidder that died. Hey. What about fucking Barbara Scampoli, my mother? Let's not, like, move on to Margot Kidder. Let's fucking get a trending topic going. Jesus. But, yeah, so then we took the dog in. And, I mean, back to WAR real quick. Kevin kind of pinned it as I had to give him the go-ahead to post it. And I mean, I just kind of said, I don't know if I want to get into this yet. I covered this at the top of the show, didn't I? But I'm covering it again. I just didn't want to get into it yet. I almost was going to do a show Friday, just thinking it would be like a good distraction. But I mean, I think I clearly made the right choice. I couldn't have done it then. But I mean, we still don't know like the full cause of death, but there's no, like, suspicion of anything, so I can go ahead and clear that up if you're wondering, if you're keeping score. I know it's, like, a horrible thing to go through, but, I mean, hey, it's something you gotta think of all angles. But I don't know the time frame because I did talk to my dad. He's in the hospital. They're going to give him an MRI on his brain because he has, like, he's all fucked up. He says when he got home, the door was unlocked. Because, I mean, here I am. I'm sitting with the idea of, I went there on Monday and the door was locked and no one opened it. So I don't know if she was still inside or if something had already happened. Kind of have to wait on that to see what the deal is, I guess. And I mean, you know what another fun thing is? Oh man, this fucking episode sucks. You know what's fun is when you try to get some crematoriums to lowball each other because you can't afford expensive funerals and you have to figure out what to do. So I never, you know, it's like a fun game because you're like, what are we thinking here? Oh, 1800, yikes, that is fucking steep. Well, what do we have over here? We have ourselves an 800. Ooh, I like that. That's $1,000 cheaper. It's like, oh, they're saying they're an 800. Then they throw in the old, well, hey, donate the body to science, and then they'll give you the ashes back in like 6 to 8 weeks or whatever the fuck. So these are the real things that happen, fucking 13-year-olds that listen to my show. This is what happens. All right. You probably turned it off by now, and I applaud you if you did. But this is what happens, 13-year-old. This will be you one day. But hopefully your parents planned better and maybe have life insurance or something set aside so you're not having dueling crematoriums try to lowball each other for the low price of, you know, burning up your parents' body and putting their ashes in a fucking urn. Fun stuff. I mean, let's do that thing people do where, you know, someone passes away and you talk about all the good stuff. Because I mean, you've probably heard stories, you've probably heard stuff on the show, whether it be my show, whether it be Kevin's show. And, I mean, I'm not negating any of that. All that stuff's true. Although, I guess, to be fair, a lot of the, like, crazy stories are probably more with my dad or, like, my uncle on my mother's side. You know, it's a classic butchy story. I mean, of course, there are definitely the clown days and the science project days. And towards the end here, things weren't always the best. But I still did, you know, I saw my parents on the holidays. I talked to them on the phone a good amount. I mean, obviously, at this point, there's always going to be that regret or wish that there was more of that. And, of course, there's blame, and you want to think maybe there's something you could have done. Especially, you know, like I said, if depending on what the time frame is and when I first showed up, if there was something I could have done. But I can't, you know, I can't do that. And a lot of people tell me you can't do that. And I do think they're right. It's hard not to. But, I mean, Kevin touched, again, I keep kind of referencing the WAR episode because I listened to that. And, you know, it just made me want to kind of talk myself about it a bit. And a lot of what Kevin said is true. It's kind of the stuff you don't always focus on, especially when you're doing a show like us, because the funny stories are the tragic ones, except for this story, which is not funny. I'm trying to throw in some stuff like a fucking such a shallow like a shallow idiot, like clearly trying to hide my pain with shit jokes, but you know, I mean, there's stuff we don't focus on. Like, you know, growing up, it was, you know, just my mother that took care of us, that took care of Kevin and I. My parents were together for a little bit when I was really young, but I mean, by 9 or 10, like that was donezo. And Kevin was like 4 or 5. So it was us and our mom. And, you know, she did everything she could. She, you know, worked shit jobs. She still went to school, though. You know, like Kevin mentioned, she worked like sub shops. She worked donut shops. She even, when I was in high school, she worked at a fucking coffee shop with girls I went to school with. And that was fucking, you know, that was hilarious. Like, oh, you know, so-and-so? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's great. But, you know, at the same time, she was going to school. She did get her degree. She did become a, I don't think she was an RN, but it's like a CPN. I believe she was a nurse, and she did good for a long time. I mean, there's definitely some downs there, like between drinking and stuff like that. But it really, you know, when I tell, or when Kevin or myself tell some of our stories, and we get some of these weird looks or some of these comments that are, they're compliments, but, you know, it's like a, like, wow, you guys turned out really good for, you guys, oh, wow, I can't believe how you guys turned out. Wow. Some of these stories, can't believe it. Kevin pointed it out, and it makes complete sense because, you know, there's the Scampoli side of my family, which is my father's side, and they're all fairly successful. I mean, mostly because it's not so much that they're great, successful people. And I don't mean this as a diss, like, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, but, you know, it was like a family business that my grandfather started, well, not started, but built between, like, back in the day, it was a place called Mr. Donut, which I don't really see a lot anymore, and then they went into Dunkin' Donuts, and they owned a bunch of donut shops in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and basically the sons and daughters fed on that. I mean, my father included. In a way, it almost makes him a little worse because he's like, rock and roll, dude, I can do it on my own. Like, spoiler alert, no, you can't. Because he would work for them too, but then he'd also try to do his own shit. But then, like, you know, all the rest of his brothers and sisters would just kind of suck on the teat and reaping the rewards, unless they, you know, some of my aunts maybe just, you know, married and moved off somewhere else, did their own thing. So I got to give them credit. I'm not trying to take it away from people, but, you know, a good amount of people, they still worked hard. But, you know, what did Obama say? You didn't build that. You didn't build that road. You didn't fucking, you didn't make the glass. Shut up, idiot. So, I mean, but he was always the black sheep. He was the one that, you know, had to move home after my parents split up and would have weirdo girlfriends at, like, my grandmother's house that would, like, steal from them. And we were Jimmy and Kevin. We were Jimmy and Barbie's kids. Those kids are fucked. Because then my mother's side, the McCormick side, we have an older sister, Debbie, who took off. And she's, like, a professor at a community college. And then we have my uncle Butchie, who you may have heard pray tell of some of the stories I have about Butchie. He was like an accountant, and then he just fucking gave up. And like I said, he had the VCR, stacks of VCR tapes that he would just copy from the video store every day and catalog and amass a huge collection of. And I don't really know what he ended up doing. I feel like he just waited around for my grandfather on that side to die and then just, like, you know, inherited the money, reaping the rewards. Then there was my Aunt Janice, which is my mother's other older sister. She died from drinking. My grandmother on my mother's side, she died at 49 from drinking. And I guess it was a similar situation where she died on her sister's couch and, like, they didn't know she was dead for a while. So, yeah. And then my mother's younger sister, Lisa, which is, you know, you've, again, going back to the history, you've heard Lisa, she calls us fucking queers, fucking losers, you're a loser. So yeah, we were Jimmy and Barbie's kids, and those kids are fucked. Those are the kids we have to give a ride home to on Christmas, and we don't want to give them a ride home, or we're not going to hide it. That's why I've always been a fucking proud idiot about just walking and taking the bus, because these fucking scumbags would have to be like, oh, who's bringing Jimmy and Kevin home on Christmas? Ugh, ah. And it's all the, like, looks and the no one wants to do it, even though it's a fucking 10-minute drive. Holy shit. But, yeah, we were Jimmy and Barbie's kids, and those kids are fucked, but I mean, Kevin pointed it out, and it made me cry because he nailed it. It's just, she didn't make us feel that way. And, you know, she did, Jesus. She did work hard, and she did kind of show us that you can. And we always had a nice place to live, and we always had great birthdays, and we always had good Christmases. I mean, of course, we probably had fights that other families don't have. And even, like, I wouldn't say I was always fucking innocent in that shit, but also to my defense, I'm the kid, and you're the parent. But I mean, I did like kick fucking holes in walls and be a fucking cliche piece of shit quite a bit. So yeah, there was definitely some ups and downs, but in the end, it was I think a very positive experience on growing up and kind of. I mean, maybe to a detriment as far as pride's concerned or how I talk about how I'm feeling. But, you know, there's a lot I got from her. I mean, I love horror movies. That's because of my mother. She would let me watch horror movies when I was a little kid. And I know that might be bad, but it wasn't bad. We had fun. Nothing crazy, obviously. Nothing. I remember watching, like, the Blob remake. I remember watching this show called Tales from the Dark Side, which was on TV. We'd watch every week. Of course, then later on, Tales from the Crypt. And yeah, horror movies. She would always tell me the story of how she took me to see E.T. when I was a little kid. It was on one of the re-releases. That was a thing they used to do back in the day, be re-releasing them in theaters. And I believe it was the first movie I saw in the theaters. I was probably only like 3 or 4. And I mean, I don't remember this. I only remember this because my mother would tell me the story all the time. Is that, you know, towards the end, when E.T. is, like, making the big save, I was the annoying fucking kid in the theater that stood up and started yelling, "Go, E.T., go!" And, you know, what a kick-ass dude. I'd be so psyched if I was in the theater smoking a cigarette, I imagine, in the 80s. Is that a thing they did in the theaters? I was like, oh, look at that little kid loving E.T. just like me, the pedophile that's here in E.T. People don't care about pedophiles. It's the 80s. And even like Pee-wee or kind of back to the, not quite horror, but the Thriller music video. I do remember like she'd put it on for me and I'd run in the other room because I was afraid of the werewolf part. And then she'd turn it off, but I'd yell and be like, "Don't turn it off!" Because I'd like to listen to it. I'd like to be in the other room and I could hear it, and I'd be so scared because I was picturing it in my head. And I'd do the same thing with Pee-wee with the Large Marge scene. I would love the build-up, but when Large Marge turns into claymation, I'd have to be in the other room, but I'd want to hear it. Like, don't fast-forward, don't pause, like, don't turn it off. Just, you know, turn up the volume. I'm going to go in the other room. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to hear the "Bruh!" And I'm going to get so scared, and I get to run in and watch Pee-wee. Like, I have, you know, I have a lot of memories of stuff like that. And even, like, you know, there's a thing we do on Jim and them when we get tots turnt. And it means a bit to me because there were some times where, like I said, we always had good Christmases, but I mean, and maybe this is a bad thing, but I feel like sometimes she would get us presents, but then she'd like to kind of, you know, fluff it up a bit with maybe some donated gifts from the church or what have you. And I remember one year they kind of gave her a bunch of things that were already wrapped. And I was a little older at that point, but Kevin was still kind of young. So she brought him home. And it's like, well, what are these? Like, we don't know who to give what. Like, they weren't even, like, labeled. Like, give this to a kid who's 10. Give this to a 13-year-old. So we're like, well, we got to open these up. And so I just remember it was a Christmas Eve in the middle of the night. And we opened a bunch of these presents. And we were, like, really impressed with them. Because it was, like, a nice Bruins jacket. Because, you know, this is Boston. Like, oh, my God, the Bruins, dude. I love the Bruins. It's like a nice Bruins jacket, some kind of really nice toys, and we had a blast. It was like Santa came because we didn't know what this shit was, and it was like a great surprise when it was kind of good, and then we got to wrap them all back up and, you know, get them ready for Kevin or whatever, or the next surprise when we got them the next morning. So, you know, it's like a lot of simple things like that, and I mean, one of my favorite stories, and this is kind of Jim and them days. The first 9/11 boys, I believe it's the first one. Yeah, it had to have been. We went to Boston, and yes, because it was back when we still hung out with Casey. So we didn't know 9/11 Boys was a thing. We're just taking a trip to Boston. I was excited that I got to bring my new friends back to Massachusetts, kind of visit my old friends and also get to visit back home and stuff like that. And, you know, I got Red Sox tickets for us because, like, oh, we're going to Boston. We got to go to a fucking game. We're going to go to a Red Sox game. And like a complete piece of shit idiot, I forgot the tickets. And I didn't realize until we're at the airport on the shuttle going to the terminal to fucking board our plane. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot the Red Sox tickets. But it was I was so dumb that me doing that is everyone thinking like, oh, good joke, dude. Oh, man, perfect timing on this sweet joke. But no, I was just that fucking stupid and I forgot them. And it was almost kind of like, oh, fuck, that means it's a wash, basically, even though we spent like $80 or whatever it was per ticket. But I called home and I talked to my mother and it became her mission that we were not going to miss this Red Sox game, even though it was like, you know, we got in to town. And the game was in like 2 days or whatever it was. So it was like fairly quick. And I understand. Yeah, we got fucking, you can overnight stuff. You could do whatever with the mail. But I know it was like kind of a tricky situation because I think the game was on like a Sunday and it was already like the fucking Thursday night or whatever it was. It was definitely kind of like you need a miracle almost to happen. And it got to the point where she made it happen. She got those things shipped. She was calling all of the post offices, basically running through the tracking, seeing where these fucking tickets were, making sure they get there. Cause it was the point where it got to the point where we like, well, I guess it couldn't have been a Sunday. Cause we were on the way to a game. We're on the way to the game. And we stopped at like the fucking, you know, King post office of Boston or the main one, basically. And I had to like run in as they're closing. And I had this moment, if I could do another fucking movie reference, it was basically like that scene in Almost Famous when the guitar player talks to the mother on the phone, Frances McDormand, and she like throws him for a loop. Because when I got in there, it was kind of like two or three guys were like, are you Jimmy? Are you Jimmy? He's here! Hey, oh, dude, we talked to your mother, man. Like, here's your tickets. Like, it was that, like, they were, they all knew what fucking what's up. And they all were like, I guess they weren't so much as flabbergasted, like in Almost Famous, but there was definitely an effect. And it was like a mission where they were all, she got them all on board. And they all had this common goal because she was making it happen. And we got the fucking tickets and we went to the game. And it was, you know, great, great success. And I mean, you know, my mother had me when she was 19 years old. And I know there's clearly a lot of like worse. There's a lot of like younger, you know, teenage girl pregnancies and what have you issues. I mean, there's fucking TV shows about it, but still a pretty young age. I mean, I didn't fucking leave home until I was 24 and I came out here to Vegas. And I do think it was probably, you know, it was a bigger deal than imagined when both Kevin and I moved out, because it was like the, you know, I have this goal I've been working towards and now it's complete. It's done. But, you know, where do I go from here? And I did have to make some calls. I talked to my Aunt Debbie, who we hadn't talked to in, I guess, like 30 years, basically. But apparently she's been talking to her on and on because she kind of knew some stuff fairly recent. And, you know, hearing about her upbringing, you know, she had it kind of like us. She had a mother that drank and she had parents that fought. And it was probably even worse than us because I know I heard some stories about, you know, her dad and, you know, belts and hitting people with belts and stuff like that. Like, you know, tough things. And it's tough to, you know, break that cycle, I guess. You know, you wonder about that stuff because, you know, there are definitely pieces of that in me or in my brother. And maybe it's not showing itself the same way as far as like drinking or drugs or anything like that. But, you know, it's there and it's something you work through and try to deal with and get better. And it's like, I feel that, you know, she did better than they did. She wasn't perfect. And she set us up where we could do better than she did. But like in a good way. And, you know, Kevin with his kids can set them up to do better. And then, you know, if I have kids or whatever down the line, it's kind of that cycle. You just want something better for your children. I'm not breaking new ground here. I'm not saying anything new. It's just stuff. It's just stuff you think about, you know, when life comes at you with stuff like this. I'm not sure really what else to say. Oh, you know what? Actually, yeah, I got another story. I got one other story. This is a recent one. And it's just, it makes me laugh because it's such a fucking, it's a mumblecore movie. Again, I can't help it. I can't help being the way I am with fucking movies and TV. I'm such a fucking, I can't help it. What do you want me to do? I live vicariously through the fucking TV. I'm a, you know, old millennial. I'm on the tip of the millennial. So, you know, the younger millennials have the memes. They're going to relate all these stories are going to come back to the memes. Hopefully not the This Is America memes, but, you know, the memes in general. But all I got is movies and TV. But basically, you know, I find myself in the middle of like a fucking cliche mumblecore indie scene or what have you. And this is just yesterday. And it's, I don't know why. But I'm annoyed I was in this situation. I'm annoyed that, like, I was in, it, like, this dumb, I don't want to call it poetic, but it's, all right. You know, so here's the thing. You know, yesterday, I recorded a couple shows with Jacob Burrows, do a show called Shows What You Know, showswhatyouknow.com. You won't hear these stories on there. You'll hear other people's fucking dramatic versions of this story explained to you by Jacob and I. So check that out. So I recorded a couple of those shows. We did it offline. I didn't want to, like, get into it. Then after that, so getting some stuff together. I had the rest of the day off. And, you know, I'm going to hang out with my girlfriend. And you know, I do want to give, you know, props. Which sounds so stupid. Props. Big props to my girlfriend. But no, I mean, she's really been there for me, and it means a lot, and she's really helped me so much, and I really appreciate that. But anyway, so we're like, okay, you know, hey, let's go get something to eat or whatever. And right up the street here is a casino, which has a theater we go to a lot, and it has a TGI Fridays. It's like, oh, let's get some fucking TGI Fridays, you know? Hey, what better? What better, right? Little Fridays, some Mozzie sticks, some fucking 3 for $10s, fucking Dollaritas. I think that's Applebee's. So we go there. And, you know, and like first I'm pulling up and it's like the parking lot's busy. And I'm annoyed by that because I got to find a spot. Then I'm like, so we're walking up. Okay, thinking about the fucking Dollaritas that aren't there because they're at Applebee's. And then I see that it's mobbed. It's fucking super busy. And I'm like, what the fuck? This place is so busy. And then a fucking light bulb goes off in my head. It's Mother's Day. And I can't, I know probably people out there right now, maybe that's sad. And I mean, it is, it's sad, but how fucking stupid, how fucking trite of a plot point. Like, I would roll my eyes at my life when I'm watching it, judging and making notes so I can break down this character's existence on showswhatyouknow.com or potentially the Jim and Them Patreon if we're doing a watch this. I was just so annoyed that I was in that situation. Like, I did forget, and it did make me sad, and I did want all these people with their fucking stupid mothers to go shove their mother up their ass. You know, you hear that? Shove your mother up your ass. But, ugh. Ugh! I'm disgusted with the writer of my life that put me in that situation. I mean, you want to even fucking add more insult to injury. The day before that, oh my god, what a weekend I've had leading up to this Tokyo trip in this show that I fucking depressed you with. The day before that, Saturday the 12th, was my dad's birthday. I went to go visit him in the hospital on his birthday, and, you know, yeah, we had a fucking grand old time. And then, of course, we had this fucking sweet Mother's Day reveal. So, yeah. Like, it's weird, because some of that stuff, like I said, even I'm sitting there rolling my eyes at the fucking trite nonsense that was the turn of events that brought me there. But, I mean, all this just to say, like, I'm not going to say the... I mean, I think it's understood, kind of the obvious, like, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone type deal. Not that I really, I truly don't think there's anything I could have done to change things. I don't, I mean, maybe a little bit. I can't really put blame on myself. Like, you know, it's still sinking in. I'm still getting used to it. But, you know, basically, all this is just to kind of talk through it and just to say that I love you, Mom.